Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve him with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Amen. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good.
Amen.
His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
Amen.
And folks, that means our generation.
Yep.
His truth is right here.
Amen.
Don't look for it anywhere else.
Right.
Only inspired book in the world. So stay with the book.
Amen.
Now there's another book. It's called Don't Look Now, But Your Attitude Is Showing. Some of you have inquired about the book. We have a limited number. They are not here tonight, but they will be Sunday and perhaps next Wednesday night. But the book has the four messages that I've been preaching and will have preached tonight to conclude. And it has eight others, so it will be 12 attitudes. Don't look now, but your attitude surely. The book sells for $9.95. I'm going to charge you $10 because my signature will be worth 5 cents, I'm sure. So if you'll see my wife after the service tonight, she'll take your order and we'll get it all filled and all done between now and the Lord's Day. What a wonderful thing it's been during this time of July. We've come to the fourth and final message, and I hope that the messages have been a blessing to you. I've seen some of you ducking down a little bit and bowing your head once in a while when we were not praying. And so all of these things go, you know, God's word just reveals to us who we are, what we are, and why we are where we are and doing what we're doing. And his mercy is everlasting.
Amen.
And his truth endures to all generations. Now I want you to open your, by the way, you know what happens when we open the Bible. The Bible opens the mind of God. So let's see what God is thinking about in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 18. As you're finding your place in the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse number 21. And I'll read after we pray together. Our Father, we are grateful for your wonderful word. We're grateful for our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray for the people who've come tonight, all of us, from the pulpit to the pew, from the preacher to the people, would be stirred and convicted. Give us open hearts. Give us tender hearts. Give us forgiving spirits, because that's what it's all about tonight. Help us, I pray, in this hour, in Jesus' name, for his sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. I read Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse number 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payments to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me that thou owest." And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had compassion on thee?" And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him up to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. Please don't miss this. If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. More than in any story in all the New Testament, ladies and gentlemen, this story sets forth clearly Christ's law of forgiveness. No one can truthfully say after they've read it that they do not understand the biblical requirements of forgiving and being forgiven. I've entitled the message, "The Attitude of Unforgiveness." Now let's get the stories told by the Savior himself. And of course it will be mostly a paraphrase, but it'll be scripture. Here's a king who owes who has a large number of servants. One of them owed him a large amount of money, but could not pay it. Now the law demanded that if a man could not pay his debts, he would be cast into prison. His wife and his children and all of his possessions would be sold. Such was the fate of the man in my text you read there a while ago, verses 21 through 26. Now, when he was brought before his master to give an account of himself, he fell on his knees, the scripture says, and humbly pled for leniency. "Please be patient," he said, "with me, and in due time I will pay you all that I owe." The master was moved with compassion and forgave him, and canceled the debt. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just like God. Yes. In steadfast compassion and loving kindness, he forgives us and cancels all our sin debt. There was a time on earth when in the books of heaven an old account was standing for sins unyet forgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went to the keeper and settled long ago. Amen. Long ago, down on my knees, I settled it all. And the record's clear today, yes. For he washed my sins away. Amen. When the old account was settled long ago. Amen. I'm happy to tell you that I settled the account 77 years ago. And I do feel better, Pastor, about the whole thing. I'm just as saved tonight as I was that night when I knelt at an old-fashioned altar. And then my dad took Bob, my oldest brother, and then Otis and me, took us all three into the baptistry and baptized us. That was a wonderful scene. I like to refresh it once in a while in my own memory. Some of you know about that and some of you don't. But I'm happy tonight that we have one who understands what we owe him and he's willing to forgive. Now this same servant who was forgiven all that big debt, had a friend who owed him a small amount of money. When he discovered that his friend could not pay him, what did he do? The Bible says he grabbed him by the throat and demanded that he pay up. The friend fell at his feet and promised he would pay when he could, but he would show this man no mercy. He had him cast into prison until he paid. As you go back and read verse 31 through verse 34. But listen to what Jesus said in verse 35. This is a solemn warning. Everybody ought to listen. Likewise, Jesus said, my heavenly Father shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Now let that soak in. Stern warning. Now when the master heard that what his servant had done, he called him in and reminded him of how he had forgiven him that large sum of money. And then he asked him in verse 33, don't you think you should have done the same thing? What an amazing story that makes very clear the consequences of the person who is not willing to forgive. Here it is. You forgive or you will not be forgiven. Somebody said, well, but preacher, you don't know what he did to me. You don't know what she did to me. He lied upon me. He lied about me. He cursed me. He walked out on me. He took my children away from me. Or she did, or whatever. But you know what? You still have to forgive if you want God to forgive you. Now, if you don't want God's forgiveness, go ahead with that grudge. And don't forgive. But you'll pay the consequences. One of the ugliest sights, in my opinion, on earth is a Christian full of bitterness and animosity toward a fellow Christian. Don't look now, but your attitude is showing. An attitude of unforgiveness is the most soul-destroying indulgence of which a person can be guilty. I'm convinced that one of the first sins that will show up at the judgment seat of Christ is an ugly, unforgiving spirit. Now, I have three major divisions for my message tonight, so we may have just a little bit extra time. Pastor's already said, no, he didn't, but he means it. I know he does. We all go over once in a while, Pastor. So if I go over a few minutes, you'll have to forgive me or else. I got you right where I want you. First, observe with me that forgiveness is a basic principle that's taught in the Word of God. Three things about forgiveness. Number one, forgiveness is the foundation upon which Christianity is built. Someone said that the two distinguishing marks of a true Christian are giving and forgiving. In the Garden of Eden, Satan drove a wedge between God and man. That wedge is called sin. Isaiah gives us a commentary in his 59th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Listen to what he said. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and God, and your sins have hid his face from you. And here's some of the saddest words. That he will not hear. Now, ladies and gentlemen, every member of Adam's ruined, rebellious, wretched race is affected by sin. Pardon me, there are no exceptions, no excuses, no exclusions. Listen to Paul's commentary in Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Paul put it this way in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous. No, not one. The wise man wrote in Ecclesiastes 7:20, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And then the capstone comes from Paul in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, when Satan drove that wedge that separated man from God. Here's what God did. He offered his plan of redemption. It is as though God said, and that plan, ladies and gentlemen, is just as effective tonight as it was 2,000 years ago. It is though that God said about forgiveness, here's what I'll do. I will send my son to die on a cross. And everyone who believes on him will be forgiven.
Amen.
Now you can sum it all up with what I call the Bible in miniature. John 3:16. 25 words written in red. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, ladies and gentlemen, Christ came. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died a substitutionary death. He rose a triumphant resurrection.
Amen.
He offered forgiveness and reconciliation to all men. Paul's commentary, 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. In Acts chapter 10, we find Peter in the house of Cornelius, and he preaches one of the greatest sermons ever preached in all the annals of history. It was preached, here's a strange thing about it, it was preached by a Jew in the house of a Gentile, and the theme, salvation by faith. Verses 34 and 35 in Acts 10, let me read them, you listen carefully. Then Peter opened his mouth. I'm glad you preachers open their mouth, aren't you? He opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And ladies and gentlemen, that moment, Peter opened the door of salvation to the Gentile world. And in Acts 13, Paul walked through that door, became the apostle to the Gentiles, and here's what he said, or said about him. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, speaking to Jews. Push the pause button there for a second. Romans 1:16, you know it. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, something has to be first. To the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. So I'll take up the reading. Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary. We had to do this, that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judged yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, does that mean that no Jews are being saved in this age? Absolutely not. But as a nation, the door was closed to the Jew and open to the Gentile. And during this church age, the age of the dispensation of grace, what is God doing? He is calling out of the Gentile nations a people for his own name, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. What a marvelous story that we read, and how boldly Paul and Barnabas answered that question. Now get the picture in your mind. Here we are, sinners by choice, sinners by nature, aliens, stubborn, rebellious, obstinate, full of iniquity, separated from God, and destined to spend eternity in hell. That's strong language, but that's true. Every man who rejects Jesus Christ will spend eternity in a literal hell, where the fire is never quenched, and the worm dieth not. Where the rich man cried out, "Please, please send Lazarus and put just the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, because I'm tormented in these flames." Now, what did God do about all of this? Our condition, our circumstances, our state. He condescended to our lowest state and came down to earth in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. And what did Jesus do? Jesus interposed his precious blood and opened the door for us to be reconciled to God. And I need to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we did not reach up to God. God reached down to us. And the moment we accepted his Son, Jesus Christ, he wrote, "Forgiven forever."
Amen.
By our name, which is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yes.
And can never, never, never be erased, eradicated, or extracted.
Amen.
It's there forever. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, that's the redemption of your body, of course. Now, let's see again what it looks like we're going to have in a second major point. Let us consider some biblical principles about forgiveness. Now, let me remind you again that God's plan of eternal redemption is founded upon his forgiveness. Three questions. Number one, are you ready? What should we forgive? Well, if someone knocks you down and spits in your face, should you forgive him? Well, let's see what Jesus did. He's our example. Peter tells us that in 1 Peter 2:22. He left us an example to follow his footsteps. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. An angry mob arrested him. They spit in his face. They plucked out his beard. They blasphemed him. They put a robe of mockery upon him. They lied about him. They smote him on his face. They lacerated his back until his inward parts gushed out. They nailed him to a cross with a crown of thorns upon his head and a hole in his side. Listen, folks, they did every evil, malicious, inhuman thing to him than anyone could imagine. Let's bring in Isaiah quickly, Isaiah 53. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." Now, when they did all of these inhumane things to him, how did Jesus respond? Did he retaliate? Did he fight back? Absolutely not. He prayed for their forgiveness. The most moving prayer in the Bible is the prayer that Jesus prayed from the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. if we say that we are conformed to the likeness and image of Jesus Christ, we should react to any evil thing that is done to us the same way he reacted. How did he react? He forgave them. Now, question number two. How often should we forgive? Well, Jesus answered that question for us in Luke chapter 17 at verses 3 and 4. I'm going to quote. You don't mind if I quote Jesus, do you? I don't have a greater authority to quote, so I'm just going to quote Jesus. And here's what he said. If thy brother, now you know that means sister as well. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again, saying, I repent. Here it is. Thou shalt forgive him. Do you remember what we read in our text? Look at it again at verse 21. Here comes Peter. God bless Peter. We all can identify with Peter. He's always answering questions when nobody ever asked. Read through the New Testament. Now, Peter answered and Peter answered. Nobody even asked a question. But here it is. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? That's what the rabbi said. And Peter was saying, boy, I'm a strict keeper of what the rabbis say. Now, I've been saved, and I'm not under the law, but I believe this part of it. Seven times I'll forgive. No. Let's get Jesus' answer to Peter's question in the next verse. Verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, I'm not the best mathematical student on the planet, but I know if I multiply 7 by 70, I'm going to get 490. You mean I can, some of you are counting right now, 489, 490, wham, I'm going after him. I fulfill the law. I can get him now. My friend, if you are counting, you are not forgiving. You ought to keep on forgiving until your attitude of unforgiveness becomes the attitude of forgiveness. That's what Jesus said. Question number three. This is a good question. Who should initiate the act of forgiveness? Someone put it this way. A more gracious victory cannot be gained over another man than this, that when the injury began on his part, the forgiveness should begin on our part. I think I ought to read that again. A more gracious victory cannot be gained over another man than this, that when the injury began on his part, the forgiveness should begin on our part. If the other person has wronged you, you are to initiate the forgiveness. Both logically and scripturally, you are to do that. Now, what I mean is this. If someone has wronged you, you should reach out to that person in the spirit of reconciliation. That's exactly what God did. We wronged him. He initiated the reconciliation. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:19? God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Someone said a long time ago, and it's just as true tonight, to err is human, to forgive is divine. By the way, when a friend makes a mistake, don't rub it in, rub it out. Forgive. Someone wrote, and this is beautiful. Wish I'd have thought of this. Forgiveness is the perfume that the trampled flower cast upon the heel that crushed it. Wow. Paul put it this way in Ephesians 4 at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all malice, let all judgment, let all of the evil be taken away. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God has forgiven you. Paul put it this way in Colossians 3:13. Forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Don't look now, but your attitude shows. Reach out in the spirit of reconciliation. Now the third major thing, and I'll be through. The consequences of an unforgiving attitude. I warn you, my friend, listen carefully. You cannot have a physically sound, healthy body or have peace of mind if you harbor resentments and an unforgiving attitude in your heart. What happens in your mind and in your heart affects your body. Don't believe you can go through life happy-go-lucky, good body, good health, and still have bitterness in your heart. It won't work. What did Jesus say? Let's turn to the greatest authority. Matthew 5:23 and verse 24. Jesus said, I'm quoting Jesus, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. But he didn't stop there. He went on to say, first, be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. So the long and short of it is this, ladies and gentlemen. You have no freedom to worship God if you are not willing to forgive. Now, did God say, stuff the gift in your pocket and hurry back? No, no, no. He said, leave your gift at the altar. And first, go be reconciled to your brother. So you have no freedom to worship. It's a mockery if you're trying to worship God while you've got bitterness and an unforgiving attitude toward anybody for any reason. I think the scriptures have made that plain. I couldn't make them any plainer. Now, there's a second consequence. Not only do you not have freedom to worship, but you have no freedom. Please don't miss this. You have no freedom to pray or to be forgiven if you are nourishing an attitude of unforgiveness. It's written in plain English. Listen to what Jesus, I'm going to quote Jesus. You know I love to quote Jesus. I built 77 years of ministry on quoting Jesus. I'm not going to quit now. Here's what he said, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But, now there's that word again, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now what is it about any word or any sentence in those two verses that you can't understand? It's plain and simple. Let me support it with what else Jesus said. Here I go, quoting him already. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Anybody can't understand that? But, but shows up every once in a while. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow, is anything? That's in English, folks. That's not in Greek. That's just pure English, simple English. But that's not all. One more quote from Jesus. Listen to what he said. Luke 6:37. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Now here's a pivotal point of my message. Forgiveness cannot flow toward you until it flows from you. I feel compelled to repeat that. Forgiveness cannot flow toward you until it flows from you. Hey, by the way, have you ever heard of the spiritual disease called grudgeitis? It's a deep-seated, unforgiving spirit against another person. How unchristlike is that? I warn you, the longer you carry a grudge, the heavier it gets. Don't forget it. Now let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I want to close with a little spiritual exercise. I never have done anything like this, I don't believe. Step number one. Why don't we stand with our heads bowed while we have this exercise? Everyone standing, heads are bowed. This is the most solemn, sacred, serious moment in this hour. Step number one, pretend there is no one here but you. That's not hard to do, is it? Pretend there's no one here but you. Step number two, clear your mind of all thoughts. Just put your brain in neutral. Don't be thinking about anything now. Don't be thinking about what preacher said, sure did touch those other people. You hit them tonight, preacher. No, I hit you. Every one of us got hit tonight. Even the ones that didn't stand close to the plate got hit tonight. Step number three, take a few seconds now to think whether you know of one person, anywhere, anybody, that you have not forgiven or that you have some animosity toward. Step number four, resolve this moment that you are going to make things right and forgive that person. Make things right and forgive that. You say, but he's way out of town or she's on the other side of the... That's all right. You got one of these machines that you can send texts on, or emails, or a telephone call. Or you may want to make a personal visit. Get right to the heart of the matter. Remember, forgiveness is not going to flow toward you until it flows from you. Now, if you'll resolve this moment, you're going to make things right and forgive. Now, if you're not going to do that, don't expect God to forgive you. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in your kindness, your compassion, your love, your patience, willing to forgive us of all of our sins. And you'll never dangle them in front of our face. You'll bury them in a deep sea and you'll forget them and put them behind your back. Now I pray that you'll speak to each one of us tonight. I'm fully aware that it's been a message that It's been difficult maybe for some to comprehend or swallow, as it were. And we'll not put anybody on the spot or embarrass anybody. But while nobody else is looking, just God and the preacher looking on, you would say by a lifted hand, God has convicted me in my own heart, in my own life, of the spirit of unforgiveness, and I want to change it tonight or as soon as I possibly can. I can resolve tonight and do it later if necessary. Would you just put your hand up and say, Preacher, God spoke to me tonight. So many of you, so many of all of us. God bless you. Now, if you really mean that, I'm going to ask you to take another step. And again, nobody's going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to make fun of you or say, ha, ha, ha. I thought he was a person that was a bitter, unforgiving soul. No, no, no. Nobody's going to do that. Just step out of your seat if you'd like to be included in a closing prayer. Step out of your seat and find a place around the altar and just resolve, as I said, that you're going to forgive. Don't wait on somebody else because somebody else may not come. But if God has spoken to you personally, whatever the circumstance, nobody's going to ask you, who are you mad at or what have you done or what did somebody... No, no, no. We just want to pray together. And I feel like we all need prayer. Anyone else want to come and get included on the prayer before we pray? I'm not going to persuade you. The invitation is open. The altar's open, and God is waiting. Now, Father, we do thank Thee for these precious people tonight that have listened attentively. They've even listened a little overtime tonight. Bless these who are around the altar. I don't know what they're talking to you about, but you know, and your ear is open to their prayer. Answer their prayer. Forgive us all of our sin of unforgiveness and bitterness and animosity. And may we be more like Jesus. In His name I pray and with thanksgiving. All right, Pastor.